Romulan Contact Team.
Alex Collier.
Alex Collier.
Webinar 18. Dream School. World Government. Holding the light and preparing to see the darkness. There'll be a question and answer session at the end. So please sit comfortably and enjoy today's webinar. Here's your host, JP.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you might be on this rotating globe. A very good day to you, everybody who's listening from the future. So whatever day you're having, I hope you're having a lovely day. Broadcasting here from Scotland, Colorado, south of England. We are presenting today's webinar, the 18th so far. Alex, how are you doing, my friend?
Hi, James. JP, good. We ready to get started?
Yes, we are.
Okie dokie. Hello, everybody. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your time, for your attention. I want to thank all of you very, very much for being here and supporting the webinars. I want to read a quote from Socrates, which has a lot to do with what we're going to be talking about throughout the next 90 minutes. The secret of change is to focus all of your energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new. He was a very wise man, quite obviously. And that's something we need to look at, that we're going to talk about. And I'm going to be talking a little bit later here about what's going on here in the States, and for those of you in England, the colonies. And there's quite a bit going on. And this will also be a focus to the Americans here. You know, starting these things is always interesting. You never quite know exactly where to start. But let us start with dreaming. We've had several talks, conversations about dreaming, and some of you have actually begun to email me about some of your experiences in dreaming. And it appears that for some, when they go to sleep at night, they are somewhere else. Another world, another reality, another dimension. And they find themselves in a classroom type of setting, or they find themselves on spacecraft or motherships. And what is occurring is there's an educational element to all of this that's going on, to what's going on with each one individually. And for myself, when this occurs, I find myself in a classroom. There's about 40, 45 people, and I can see the back of their heads. There are moments where I can see sometimes their faces, but just for an absolute moment. And when there's an instructor, and there's usually holographic technology being used up in the front, and when the class education is over, I typically find myself somewhere else. And then I'll come back and I'll wake up in the morning and I'll have just very vague recollections of what some of the things that were talked about. And this happens to me a lot. And apparently it's happening to many of you as well. There is a timing sequence to much of what's going on, and it isn't so much of a timing frequency, a time, like a literal time, the hands on the clock. What it has to do is that the recollections, the lessons that we are all being given in this other realm, is all tied to a frequency. So when a specific frequency hits the planet, it is going to unlock this knowledge, these memories that we all have or are in fact getting. And I have been told by Morinet that even those who don't remember their dreams, or who don't think they're having dreams, are in fact having dreams. They, most people on this planet, in one way or another, are being given information, information that is not only very specific to survival, but is also very specific on making decisions and to see the truth. It's also much of the information or the edumacation that people are getting in these classrooms is more or less a lesson in reestablishing the ability to listen to that small voice inside each one of us. The voice of your soul, the voice of your higher self, that voice that knows ultimately what's right and what's wrong. Because it is imperative to listen to that voice. Now, the reason there is such an emphasis on the small voice inside of all of us is that here in our world, our environment, our living environment, our conscious environment that we live every day, that we all take for granted, apparently is extremely unique. Many of the races that are here participating or assisting in refreeing our race and helping it to evolve, they have never run across an environment, a consciousness environment like we have here. Now that probably says a lot, right there. And one of the things that has been stressed to me is that so many people calculate. They calculate everything. There are so many people that quantify everything. And what the A's and other races have found out is that even though we do this, that many of us do this all the time about everything, none of us are happy. No one is happy doing that. Okay, so the question is it really beneficial to live in this kind of consciousness? And their guess it isn't. But they have to allow us the space to make these shifts, to make these changes ourselves. And part of the lessons in listening to that small voice inside of you is to self-empower you to make decisions about right action. It's important to listen to that voice because it'll always tell you what's right and what's not. It'll also tell you what to do about it. Every great leader, every saint, every hero, every great person that most of us through history have admired, they have all listened to that small voice inside of themselves. And what made them unique is that they didn't give a damn what society thought. They didn't give a damn what people around them thought. They acted on that small voice. Okay, even if it meant being irrational or taking an action that would appear irrational, they followed their heart. And they continued to follow their heart. And it took them to places where even in the beginning, if they didn't think it was beneficial or it would be beneficial because they were quantifying it or calculating it, it turned out to be that it led them directly where they needed to be to make either the greatest social change to humanity, to those around them, to the point where we're still talking about them here hundreds, maybe even thousands of years later. Now, that's not to say that every single one of us is going to be an historical person. That is not my point. My point is, we have to create the new. We can't fight the old. It's too embedded. It's too ingrained. It needs to collapse in on itself. And as I have said many times, we have to move our focus on what it is that we want, not on what we have. Okay? And if you're paying attention to what's going on in the world, if you're paying attention to the dialogue in the media, fear everywhere, nuclear war, talks of nuclear war, talk of war in the Middle East, anti-Muslim rhetoric, anti-Christian rhetoric, anti-Jewish rhetoric, This is really, really old stuff. And it's unfortunate that the media has become the fifth branch of government, because in reality, folks, that's what's happened, okay? It's become the fifth branch of government. And what's happening is that they are creating such a negative field, such a field of hopelessness for everyone, that everyone is just, that if you buy into it, if you allow yourself to be disempowered by the mantra, by the dialogue, by the news, what's going to happen is that you are just going to sit back, not listen to that voice, and you're going to wait for the end to come. And I can't even tell you how many people, young people, write me about this stuff, about it's hopeless. They don't see any way out. It's the end. We're all going to die. And it's actually pretty sad. It's actually quite sad. And the sad part is that if you believe it's true, then that will become a reality for you. But the reality is, in the grand scope of things, it's nothing more than Bravo Sierra. Okay, Bravo Sierra. Bullshit. That's what it is. All they want to do is to create negative field to keep you contained in a vibration and a frequency of fear. Because as long as you're in that box, they can feed off of you. They can control you. That's what this is all about. It's what it's always been about. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we are the ones who are creating this reality, not them. We are doing it. And they have to keep us in this box, okay? Keep us in this box, thinking in the structured format that benefits them because they have control over us. And by feeding us all of this crap, feeding us all this dialogue, feeding us all these ideas, we are literally binding the chains to ourselves to allow them to imprison us. You have to be seeing this. I mean, there's no way I'm the only one seeing this. Okay, you have to be seeing this. And I mean, it's everything. You know, mankind is now the reason for hurricanes. Mankind is the cause for everything. For everything that's wrong with the world. Mankind is at fault for nature, Mother Nature. Okay? This is the mantra. And this is the mantra. And they want you to buy into this crap because they want to move you into a place where they say, look, there are too many people living on the planet. Okay, we can't, the planet cannot sustain all of you. So some of you are going to have to leave. And, you know, we have some ideas for how that can happen. I'm telling you, it's coming. If you're paying attention to this, it's coming. If you've been paying attention to Agenda 21, it's coming. Okay? It's just one huge mindfuck. I don't know how else to say this to you. But it is really, really kicking into gear now. And you know, now that the internet is not protected, and I don't give a damn what anybody says, you know, free speech is going to be the first thing to go on it. You just wait and see. I have to get some of this stuff out. So, you know, we're going to talk about some things that aren't in the program, okay? Because I can't put them in the program. So, I'll get back to that. For those of you who are very sensitive to the energy, you have to know that the energy is getting very, very chaotic. It is all over the place. It is bouncing all over the place. Many people simply are not being able to handle it, and they're doing very, very crazy things. And if you are grounding yourself to the earth, you realize that the earth appears to be moving very slow, very steady, kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. That's her frequency, very slow. Well, she's maintaining the same frequency as she always has. Well, actually, it's actually rising, in fact, but compared to the cosmic waves that are hitting the planet, it would appear that they're miles and miles apart. It is important to ground yourself every day because the energy that is coming is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, it isn't so much that it's coming from the central sun, which it is. It's not the fact that it's also coming out of black holes, because it is. This frequency is shifting everything. It is raising the harmonic of all physicality, not just in our dimension. But it is important for you to ground so that you can stay centered and you can operate within this field of constantly fluctuating energy. And it's really about grounding. Things are moving very, very quickly. World events are moving very, very quickly. There, in one of the first webinars that we did, I talked about equipment, mining equipment that was in the rings of Saturn. And that mining equipment was being operated by synthetics, robots, automatons. When things were shut down, the automatons that would operate those particular parts of the mining equipment in the rings of Saturn, they would go into cryogenics. Well, our fleet have been on some of this equipment. Some of this equipment has now been moved to behind our moon. And there are two possible scenarios for the purposes of this. Now, the mindset, the conversations, the chain of thoughts regarding the use of this equipment is being monitored by the benevolence. Okay? So they're watching these chains of thoughts. And one of the thoughts is to take some people off the planet, the elites, off the planet, and put them on there so they'd be safe while the planet goes through its rocking and rolling when Nibiru comes through. The other chain of thought is to use this very same equipment in a false flag ET invasion. Many people have talked about this in the past. It looks like everything is still on the table. As I told you months ago, that the New World Order group, the elites, the powers that be, had decided they wanted war. And now we have all this talk of war. I think it's imperative that you know that the possibility of actual launch and detonation of nuclear weapons across the world is zero. Absolutely zero. In fact, in July of this year, benevolent UFOs were turning off nuclear missiles and melting their circuit boards all over the planet. It has been going on for years. Okay? This isn't going to be allowed to occur because the ramifications are not just to Earth. They're to other dimensions and other beings sharing this space, because our guys that control this stuff haven't got the wisdom or the foresight to understand that we live in a holograph and we share space with other life forms. Even though we can't see them, they are still here. And this kind of nonsense, this kind of misbehavior is not going to be tolerated. So, as far as I am concerned, and I am sharing this with you, the use of nuclear weapons, it's theater. Do you understand? It's all theater. It is to create that box of fear, so that whenever we're told, well, you know what, if we don't do this, they're going to launch. Well, we're going to have a nuclear war. If you really pay attention to whenever we come up against these kind of scenarios, what is it that always happens? The people end up giving away, giving up more freedom. That's what this is all about. It's about control, control, control. And I keep coming back to that. This mining equipment that is on the far side of the moon was used to capture minerals. As that Saturn has a very strong gravitational field, not quite that of Jupiter, by creating a harmonic in the ring of Saturn, it acted like a magnet. It would pull things from either end of the solar system to the ring, okay? What they would do is they would put a harmonic inside the ring, and it would be like a record, for lack of a better word. It would be like a record, and it would play a harmonic that would attract specific minerals, dust, particles to it like a vacuum, okay, like a magnet. And there is tons and tons of platinum, gold, silver, and other metals inside these smaller mining ships that are on the dark side of the moon now. One of the original ideas was to see if they could use it and turn it on to create some kind of a Dyson sphere around the planet. They weren't designed for that. So that part isn't going to work. Now, the reason so much of this is occurring and going on now, the dreaming, everybody's doing more dreaming and getting much more information. The goal here, ladies and gentlemen, the goal here is to allow things, certain things to happen so that the regressive aliens on the planet will feel safe enough, will feel secure enough in their ability to lock down the planet, that they will come to the surface. Once they come to the surface, they are no longer hiding behind humanity. Between the benevolence watching this and the boots on the ground, once they come to the surface, they can be pulled out of here. Like in a New York second. This is imperative that this happens. And it is beginning to happen, in fact, where they are beginning to come to the surface. Everybody is showing their hand of what they're doing. No one's afraid to let everyone see the corruption. They don't care anymore. Okay? I mean, here in the United States, if you've been following anything, we hear a lot about the former Secretary of State's emails. Well, that in itself is extraordinary. The foundation that she represents is by far the bigger story. But what's more fascinating than any of that is the fact that we have someone running for president who could in fact be our future president, who took bribes, who openly took bribes as the Secretary of State, and who now has to become president of the United States so that she can fulfill the promises made when she took those bribes. And that's out there. And not only is the FBI and the Department of Justice running interference for her, not only is the administration running interference for her, but so is the media. The media is running interference for her. And in fact, they're blaming everything on the other guy. Okay. Who isn't perfect either. But what I'm saying is that it's out there. They're not even trying to hide it. And I know this is going on in other countries as well. So you have to know that things are very close, that things are moving very, very quickly. There is even a move where here in the United States, the Center for Disease Control is proposing forced vaccinations for everyone in the United States. And for those who refuse it, they will be put in camps as a pre-communicable health threat, which is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard. And you know, you can't make some of this stuff up. It is just absolutely insane. But these are eminent rules that they want to implement because they say of all these communicable diseases that are about to appear on the planet. Well, geez, I wonder how they know that all these diseases are going to start showing up on the planet. You know, it's just amazing. And it's probably because, you know, they're going to start releasing these things. Because, again, they want to create this box of fear. Now, I know what I'm saying, and I'm fully aware that the energy that I'm sharing with you is negative field. I'm aware of that. But it's important that you pay attention to this because it's very, very easy to be drawn into this dialogue. Into this frame of negative field and to feel helpless and hopeless. For example, 50% of the people in this country don't vote because they believe their vote doesn't matter. So they've already given up. They have already surrendered, you know, some ability to change anything. They've already surrendered that. And even if they didn't want to vote on the presidential race. They can still vote for local government where their vote does count, but they have chosen not to. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't go there. We have got to hold the light here. We just do. I mean, the regressive movement is in our face. It's everywhere. And it's only going to get more and more bold. And we have got to be sure that we focus and we hold the light, which is why I read to you that quote from Socrates. The secret of success is to take all of our energy and focus it not on the old, but on the new. That's what we have to do. We have to keep focusing on what it is that we want. And inherently, if you listen to that small voice inside of you, we're all getting the same message. We really are. Whether we're communicating with other light beings and light workers, I don't like those labels very much. But honorable people, people who have honor, that know they have honor. You know, every single person on this planet is born with honor. You are an honorable being. You're an honorable soul. Okay, no one can take that away from you. No one can bestow it on you. You already have it. Just don't lose it. Don't give it up. Maintain your honor. Listen to that voice inside of you, because that voice inside of you knows right action. It is being guided by the Creator, by the isness, by the forever, by God, whatever word you use, Great Spirit, whatever word you use to connect to the source. Okay, whatever label you use, that is where that small voice is coming from. And I've been asked that it's more important than ever to be able to get quiet and listen to that, because the noise that's coming from the outside, the noise of war, the noise of pestilence, the noise of fear, the noise of Muslim terrorism, the noise of Christian terrorism, the noise of civil wars, the noise of this and that. It's just one big shitstorm. We have to be able to center ourselves. And it isn't just about the frequency, but it's being able to listen to that small voice inside of each one of us. I probably cannot say this enough, depending upon how many future webinars we have here, I'm going to bring this up again because it's imperative. We can't forget. We get so busy with our lives, trying to make a living, trying to support ourselves, trying to take care of our families and our loved ones and get to work on time and get home on time and worrying about this and worrying about that. And can I cover the bills and can I buy enough food and do I have fuel? You know, that's all part of the noise that's being created to make sure that we stay outside of ourselves. We have to stay inside of ourselves. We have to be grounded inside, listening to that voice that knows right action. And we have to regain trust in listening to it. Okay, there are many who have forgotten that voice, who are just now, because of one reason or another, beginning to start paying attention to that voice again. It's relationship with yourself. Your subconscious doesn't have a spiritual relationship with your higher self. Your subconscious only lives here in the physical world. And it's all about survival. That's what it's about. It's about survival, and it's about acquiring power for you. Okay? That's one of life's lessons on the planet. It's about power, personal power, power over others, power to manipulate to get the things that we want, etc., etc. And these particular types of lessons are not inherently bad. Even on other dimensions, there are lessons regarding power, how to use it, how to be responsible with it, how to be more creative with it, how to evolve with it. And this is, there is no difference. Otherwise, there'd be no evolution. Evolution is about acquiring tools and learning how to use those tools in an honorable, responsible way. It's no different in other dimensions. But those of us here in third density, those of us here on Earth, we are tasked with something different. And we just are. And there is a much bigger picture to this and a much bigger meaning in the grand scheme of things and a purpose to this than any of us realize. And maybe one day we'll all get the big picture and it'll all make sense and we will all have that aha moment together. At least I sincerely hope so. But when you look at the resources that have been expanded here, the extraterrestrial beings that are here who are not with their families, they're here with us. This event that we are a part of changes the history of our galaxy. That much I know. It changes the history of our galaxy. Those of you who are awake, those of you who care, those of you who have knowledge of your personal power, who have chosen to be honorable, I know you'll do the right thing. I don't know about the others. Those are choices everybody's going to be making here. And are making every single day. I have been asked to read Leadership to you. This was given to be my Mornay. These are his words. And the reason this has come up is because in many of the dreaming classes in the dreaming schools, the primary reason for those of us being in this environment is about leadership. It's about personal power, but it's also about leadership. And it doesn't mean that you have to get in front of a crowd. It doesn't mean that you have to lead a pack. It doesn't mean you have to lead a parade. It doesn't mean any of that. What leadership means is being able to see through all the noise and still be able to do the right things. Now, this was given to me 20 years ago. And I'm amazed at how relevant it is to right now. Leadership by Morne. What is important this present time in your world is to know that the pioneer leaders of your past, who greatly influenced your world today, have been removed from the hearts of the people. The leaders of today, this present moment, should share and embrace not only the same faith, philosophy, and objectives as the people. They, the leaders, should thereby raise each of the governed to his or her own level according to the principles of consistency from beginning to end. These mistakes, as we have studied and observed, are that throughout your history, hero worship, and fame seeking has risen to the point of the idea that your leaders are great and the general populace is ignorant and powerless. This concept in your world contradicts any type of true democracy and is wrong. Some will be artists, so it shall be that individuals must and will awaken and unite voluntarily. Some will be artists, scientists, others from all other walks of your life. They will become teaching leaders of the people with whom they are working directly and will teach all men and women to be leaders. At the same time, it is also important that those who support them must become leaders also. To be a leader in your world, we would only suggest that the only requirements be simple and evolve from the real essence of mankind. Leaders should be in absolute faith in their humanhood, declaring always the greatness of God and self-responsibility. They should also have a strong sense of responsibility for themselves and those that they teach. A leader should always love his people, protect them, and encourage them warmly into their own power and humanhood. A leader's sense of responsibility will only deepen by his affection of his role as both father, teacher, and or mother. When a leader lacks mercy or compassion, they will be self-serving and irresponsible. And a leader teacher should always strive to be broad-minded. He should always try to be capable of understanding his members' needs and individual situations, putting himself in their place. A leader should practice gentleness and forbearance and be determined to hear the problems and teach guidance and self-determination to any person to establish self-faith and happiness. A leader also needs to be impartial. He must not be swayed by his own feelings or self-serving considerations. Always eager to give a fair hearing to responsible and reasonable suggestions, but firm in protesting self-serving goals or mistaken views, even to his seniors. Leaders should be careful of those that flatter them, as not to cater to their personal agendas. Leaders should cultivate the sense to spot cheap tricks, lies, and sneakiness. He must also put the right person in the right place and be courageous about it. The idea is to build long-term integrity in all aspects of life and leadership roles, always acknowledging the inconspicuous efforts of others, as all souls are part and contribute to the whole. Your leader should also have self-confidence, courage, and decisiveness. Leaders must believe in their ability to protect his members and help them advance to self-responsibility so all may become determined. Those persons who have done the inner work on the path of being a true human being acquire wisdom and are already true leaders. They always have faith in themselves. Those who walk the path of heart will discover that through faith emerges wisdom. And this faith enables the leader to employ his wisdom effectively in all situations. Courage is absolutely indispensable to the leader. Leadership is no place for cowardice. Always strive to advance wisdom and courage. Building an honest and healthy race of human beings means producing a world of leaders, of the true law of oneness. Development of faith, integrity, and character is both the starting point and the end result. This will make all people capable human beings. Every child in your world is a new opportunity to build an honest and real world. Leaders need not be criticized each error on the part of their members or their staff. A leader should praise them for what they have done well and capably. There will be other people who will criticize. Being a leader or becoming a leader does not mean you have perfect faith or wisdom. These are lifelong pursuits. Being a leader is to develop people and to help people into self-responsibility, spiritual maturity, and the freedom to cultivate voluntary introspection. Mankind can develop remarkably, even under adverse circumstances. We see this ourselves every day, watching you. When Earth awakens to her mission and towards her great objective, we will have full faith that you all will be successful and a source of great pride to all of us. Okay. I thought it was relevant to read that. Actually, I was told to read that to you because it is relevant. JP, let's get ready to do some questions, okay?
Hello, hello. There we go. Headphones on. Very moving, that one. Yeah, very interesting. I've recorded that separately. With your permission, I can put that out as a separate little noodle thing.
If people are interested, please do.
I'm sure they will be. It's a very interesting way of putting things. And how is the script idea going? You wrote a book. Is that ever going to come out? I'd love to read it. I'd read it out for you. You know, I'd do the audio book.
It needs editing.
I'm a good proofreader as well, actually.
It needs editing.
Well, we'll see what we can do. So, Alex, shall we go to the question and answer section?
Yes, please do. Ladies and gentlemen, just before we venture into that territory... As blessed as I have been to be in a position to actually stand in front of my mentors, well, now it's just Mornay, but to have had the experience of standing in front of two mentors of mine and to have them talk to me face to face, not only with my heart and my hand, but also with my subconscious and my head, you know, constantly trying to tell me this can't be real. How can this be real? How can this situation that I'm physically in, this can't be a real scenario because they're not supposed to be here. Even though I've had those experiences, I find myself now in this stage of my life asking less and less questions of Mornay about my personal stuff. And I find myself moving more and more into that small voice, that inner voice, and asking that voice for my own guidance. And I have been encouraged to do more and more of that. Because the higher self knows it all. It just flat does. And it not only knows what your true agenda was in coming into Earth, for your original intent for coming into Earth, but it also is connected to the other parts of you, the other facets of you that are experiencing life multidimensionally. And it doesn't matter whether you believe you're multidimensional or not. You are. Even if you don't believe it's true, you still are. And there are parts of you, aspects of you, doing other things in other realms. Okay? Your higher self, that still small voice, knows what is going on. And I am learning some amazing things about myself. And I would encourage you guys to do the same about yourselves. Because the aliens, the extraterrestrials, good or bad, they don't know everything. They're not gods. I want to say that again. They are not gods. And they are not supposed to come down here and pretend to be gods. Okay? Which means we should not be giving our power away to anybody. Anybody. We are to self-empower ourselves. That's the lesson. That was original intent. And act accordingly to that inner guidance to create not only a positive field for our own creation, for our own evolution, but for that of our families and our loved ones. Now, you cannot make them think the way you do. But by example, they will follow. And if we can follow the dictates of leadership that the Andromedans and maybe other races experience as well, well, I'm sure they do, then we will all fall in line. And together, based on the law of consistency, we can all evolve together. Or at least a very, very large group of the human family can do this. And I foresee that. I see that. That is something I think is, in fact, doable. And that's something that I want to happen. But it's not about preaching to everybody, this is what it is. This is what you got to do. It's about sharing the idea. It's about sharing your experience. But it's also about doing the inner work. Because when you do the inner work, it'll show. They will get it. Their higher self will get it. Because the higher self knows truth. It knows it when it hears it. It knows it when it sees it. Okay, it does. And the stronger we allow that voice to get inside, I believe the more in tune with the Creator we will all be. And we will be capable of accomplishing anything and doing our own miracles, creating miracles. It's a good thing. It's a really, really good thing. Okay. I'm ready, JP.
Okay. Now, where shall we start? Maybe I'll start at the bottom, do one from the top, do one from the bottom. This is from Charlotte. Hi, Alex. Are there ways to cope with targeted EMF energy? Seriously, I'm not imagining this. Aloha.
No, I know you're not. I know you're not. I am not an expert in that field at all. I am sure that there are many people probably using the internet. You can find people who are far more versed in that kind of information than I am. I wouldn't even venture to give you any specifics in that regard. You know, I wouldn't. So I would suggest that you go on the internet and you find out people who do this kind of thing. I know that there are there are people who have created specific types of jewelry and things of that nature that my understanding is that is said to work. I know that Dr. Fred Bell made devices that were said to work very, very well. And I don't know who, if anyone has continued to sell his work or not.
Yes, his daughter is doing it. I've had her on the show.
Okay. Then you might want to look her up or look for that kind of technology. I know that Sean Morton was a strong advocate of the technology that Dr. Fred Bell was making. So that might be something you want to look at. Off the top of my head, that's what I have.
I just posted the website in the chat room there, pyridine.com.
So JP's all over it.
I've been into this thing for like 30 years, all this stuff, you know, EMF stuff. Anyway, right. Oh, so Dimensional Vortex is a listener here, and he or she has written enormous question, but there's two questions, a two part, and I'm going to ask you the second part, and then I ask them to perhaps kind of condense their other half of the question. So I'll ask you the second one question, which is a simple question, which is is it true that the Ten Commandments were laser etched from UFOs?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
But
I don't know.
Okay.
But those were general guidelines that were used in every budgeting society, burgeoning society, or slave race. Those were rules and guidelines that the Anunnaki used all over the galaxy for their slave workers. They had rules. So, you know, the Ten Commandments were guidelines of social order that were used everywhere. Thou shall have no false gods before me. That was a very distinct and specific order from Anu, who was the king of the Anunnaki. So everyone then knew who he was. Whether they saw him or not, they were fully aware that he was the father of Enlil and Enki, etc., etc., etc. So again, let's keep it in perspective that the creator of all the universes and all dimensions take time to scribble with a laser 10 laws on a little piece of rock here on Earth. No, he did not. Probably not what you wanted to hear.
I think it's what people need to hear, Alex. Really.
Remember, you know, the gods.
Too much specialness about the whole God business, and like they're no more gods than we are. In fact, they're probably lesser gods than we are, from what I can understand these days. So
it doesn't take courage, and it doesn't take strength to suppress races that are less evolved from you. It doesn't take courage. It doesn't take benevolence to be cruel to those of lesser rank. You see, then that's the whole contradiction in the holy book. I am a loving and forgiving God who is going to throw you into an abyss forever to be tortured for making a mistake that really pisses me off. So where's the disconnect? Okay, where's the disconnect on that? If you could figure that out, you let me know. Okay? Go ahead, JP.
He's just like a bad and grumpy dad, you know. Anyway. He's been at the mine all week and you know, he just wants a bit of peace. And, oh, Dad, tell us a story. Meanwhile, from Christina, regarding Know Your Enemy, AI advancements and nanobots in our bloodstream by 2020. Elon Musk, speaking at the 2016 Code Conference, warns about AI advancement and states that we are already human cyborgs. Ray Kurzweil, director at Google and Singularity University, accelerating future of... Oh gosh, where's it gone? Where's the other part of this? Oh my god! There's no other... There's no end to that question.
Let me just address that. Let me just address that. Okay, because this goes back to what we were talking about creating the negative field. Okay, all the noise. We have to be concerned and afraid of AI. Okay, well then why are we continuing to produce AI? Why are we going in the direction to make AI, to do it, if we already know that we need to be afraid of it? Hello? Then can anybody answer that question for me? If we already know that it's not a good thing, that it's a bad thing, and that it will ultimately become a threat to humanity, why are we doing it? Okay. First question, that's the question everybody should be asked. And as far as nanobots and becoming an AI and becoming a robotoid and yada, 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 yada. Look, your body, your physical form, I'm talking to most of you, has a soul. That soul is living here now in this body. That soul is living in other realities, in other dimensions, simultaneously. That soul is connected directly to Source, to Creator. There is no chance of that part of you becoming a cyborg. Zero, zilch, nada. Isn't going to happen. It's just... The whole thing is to just make you more afraid of life so that you just don't do anything. You make no effort whatsoever because you have to be afraid of life. Who the hell wants to live like that? Why would you even consider this as valid information? Folks, if you wanted to leave, you could leave, okay? You all know this. You're all smart enough and evolved enough to know this, okay? The whole point is it's like the old analogy of the crab pot, of the crab fisherman on the pier. He's got a big pot of crabs. And as he pulls them out onto the dock, he puts the crabs in the bucket. And there's a little boy who walks up to him and goes, "Mister, your crabs are going to get out," because he sees one climbing up to the top. He goes, "No, the others will pull him back in, so he won't get out." And sure enough, without even looking, the fisherman, he just goes about fishing, and sure enough, one gets up to the top. He climbs up on top of everybody, all the other crabs, and he gets just to the top, and all the other crabs pull him back in. That's what this is about, okay? These regressives are so good at twisting our minds and reality that we end up enslaving ourselves. They don't have to do anything but feed off of us. That has gone on forever and ever and ever. You have to see it. You have to recognize that that's what's going on. And the only tool they have is fear. That's it. Because you are an endless, boundless soul who can transverse any density, can create any physical reality you want. And they don't have it. They don't have it. They hate you for it. They are jealous of it, and they want it. But they'll never, ever have it. So they have to convince you that you are powerless, so that you buy into that lie and you enslave yourself. Don't do it. Absolutely don't do it. Okay, you got to stop falling for it. We all do. We all have to stop falling for it. Okay, next question.
Excellent. My question. So, Bjorn, how far into the future did the A's understand that the origin of the fall down happened here in our solar system? So, yeah, did you get that one?
Well, they're 800 years into our future.
800 years from our future, right. And any more on that?
How do I put this? 800 years into our future, tyranny shows up in their density. Now, I can't tell you what that timeline means in their time. It's impossible for me to comprehend that. So let's just look at their density, 800 years. Okay? That will give you some idea.
Because, of course, they have 33 days to each day. So,
yes,
you can the translation of time zone. Yeah, we have trouble with PST.
It's stupid, ridiculous. You know,
apples and pears. Now here's another question from Bjorn. How do the Andromedans regard to what we call Satan? Is it an entity? Where's it gone? Is it an entity of this solar system only, or is it something bigger? That's an interesting question.
They see the concept of Satan as a myth, that a single person like that does not exist. Now, I know that there are some speakers who refer to Satan in our realm as Enki of the Sumerian texts. And I've also heard it that it would be in Lil. I've also heard that there's also talk of a reptilian warlord from the time of Atlantis known as Satanaki, that make reference to. In the Andromeda perspective, that is a myth, it's a fable, and that there is no singular person that exists that is that person. It more or less is a dialogue. It is a concept of evil incarnate in a group that suppresses others. And it doesn't have to be solely reptilian. It can be human. It can be insectoid. It can be in any other type of life forms, whether it's life forms that are methane, those that are cobalt. There's all kinds of different physical life forms out there. But it's an idea. It's an idea about a group that intentionally suppress others for the sole purpose of feeding off their light. Okay? That's how they view this. And what's also interesting is that in 1962, at the Second Ecumenical Council of the Vatican, they admitted to creating the myth of Satan. So you might want to look into that.
Very interesting stuff. Now that's why we come to this place. From Lauren, our favorite questionnaire. Anyway, if there is a direct correlation between spiritual evolvement and technological advancement, how is our secret space program able to create weapons capable of ushering a universal tyranny? And is it the secret space program that starts on Earth the medium of tyranny that the Andromedans have been looking for? Is that the thing?
That's a great question. And we're going to answer that one for you today, Lawrence.
Hurrah, hurrah.
I'm going to answer that question for you today. Here is my understanding, and I'll let you know right up front, I don't know all the ins and outs, and I am sure that there are bits and pieces of this information that other people have that I don't have. But my understanding is that the original intention to create the space program was not only to explore, but also to not only, but also to protect the Earth. And in the event that something was coming that was going to be very catastrophic, that chances are we could find someplace else to go so humanity could survive. I believe that was the original intent, and that was the bill of goods that was sold originally to everyone who got into the program. This is why we have to do this. It changed and evolved after that. The dialogue began to change. The conditions in which the astronauts could continue to maintain their rank and their own safety in space changed as guidelines changed. What happened was after they got off the planet, all the rules changed. And in fact, many of the astronauts that are part of the program, cosmonauts maybe is another word for it, many of them are still not fully aware of all the things that are going on out there. For example, the asteroid Cirrus in the asteroid belt, where the manufacturing of much of the weaponry is being done or was being done. It was compartmentalized. Equipment and pieces were made in different parts of there, of that asteroid. There were things also being done on Mars. There were also things being done on Phobos. There were components being made, and then they were being taken to another ship where they would be put together, tested, and then an alien group was selling them to other rogue renegade alien groups. Most of this was not being done in and around our space fleet because they understood that there would be pushback. They understood that those of them who are us, who are human, who are connected to Earth, would have a real issue with this. In fact, what really brought this whole thing to a head, and how many of our astronauts and cosmonauts found out that this was going on, was through a contact between a benevolent race and one of the ships of our space fleet. Many of the astronauts and cosmonauts who were said to have been retired and being brought back to Earth were in fact never brought back to Earth. They were being blown out of an airlock into space. The powers that be that run this program and the extraterrestrials that run this program, they gave the entire appearance that these cosmonauts and astronauts were being processed out of the fleet and that they would be going back to finish the remainder of their life either on Earth or the Moon or Mars. They were in fact being killed. Nobody was coming back here. They weren't going to do it. It wasn't happening. They found that information out from this benevolent group. They also found out about the weaponry. Those on our space fleet ship that had this conversation were basically given information about what was truly going on. And from there, it went from ship to ship to ship to ship. And there were issues. There were huge issues to the point that our space fleet, that which is manned by Earth cosmonauts and astronauts, had to be quarantined for a time because they got really upset. Folks, there's a lot going on. I mean, there is a lot going on. And you know, what's interesting is that you would think that the more we research this, the more we delve into it, the more we try to gather all the pieces together to make the whole thing fit. What ends up happening is that it becomes more of a mystery as opposed to a bigger picture. Because it's multidimensional. The actions that are occurring here are multidimensional. The reality is multidimensional in its structure. Okay, it affects not only third density, but it affects fourth density and it affects fifth density. See, we're just looking at it through the prism of third density. We don't see the other pieces, the other components, but it's there, and that's why the mystery deepens the more we find out about this, because we don't know how to put all the pieces together. And the more we find out about third density, it only opens up more questions, which lead us to fourth. And the more we figure out what that is, it leads us to fifth, to find out how this thing all comes together. It's extraordinary. It really is. It's absolutely extraordinary. And if you know, for those of you who have chosen to go down that rabbit hole, or those of you who choose to go down that rabbit hole, it's extraordinary because now you're training your mind to think holographically. There's a lot to be said for that. There is a lot to be said for that. Especially when you get that and your entire focus is on creating what you want. Okay, it's extremely beneficial. So, Lauren, the weaponry that was being built by us or in third density was capable of being used in fourth. And I'm not sure in fifth. I don't know how it directly relates to fifth. That hasn't been shared with me. But the tyranny shows up, obviously. But tyranny can come in many different forms. It doesn't necessarily come at the point of a gun, or a laser weapon, or a photon blaster, okay, or a lightsaber. It can come in many different forms. So, there you go. Okay, JP.
Excellent. Thank you, Alex. That was, again, quite moving. All right. Cassandra, is a potential mass planetary evacuation possible by the benevolent ETs?
I'm not aware of it, no. I'm not aware of it. I mean, they could do it, but I'm not aware that that's even going to be a necessity. If they intervene with Nibiru, it shouldn't be a necessity. You know, and even a mass evacuation is an intervention. So the question is, well, what do you do? What do you do with all these people? You know, once you have them on the starships. The best place for us is on our home world. Because what the Earth experiences is in vibration and frequency, we will experience in vibration and frequency. As she goes through her changes, we will go through her changes. Because no matter where we go in space, no matter where we go in other dimensions, if we are still in this physical form, we are still vibrationally connected to planet Earth. We are. Okay? And they're aware of that. They are firmly aware of that. And they're not interested, the benevolence, in transhumanism and changing our biological selves to create something that isn't natural. That is not something they would do, ever. That is the lunacy of the dark side. Okay? And I can't say any more than that, or I'll really get myself in trouble. I'm already in trouble for talking about the space fleet. I can tell you that. Boy, they hate that stuff out there. They really do. So, but there's some great people on the front lines talking about that. Dr. Michael Sala and others, you know, who are out there trying to put this information out. And, you know, I give them all the kudos in the world for having the courage and the leadership to do it. There you go. Okay. What's up? What's next?
Alaria. Alex seems so serious today. Have we moved into the next phase of this event?
Which event? If you had a clue, JP, which event she's referring to, what would that be?
I'm imagining this kind of September planetary crossing event, and well, you know, you were saying December 16 to December 17, but you know, other things are ramping up as well, aren't they?
Yes, they sure are.
But
you can feel it. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the feeling is shit's got real.
Yeah.
If you could sum it up in three words, you know.
Yeah, it's getting way too hot. And that's not hell, you know. It is. Things are definitely ramping up. What's happening is that the dark side is cornered, and they are getting more aggressive, and they are becoming more irrational. And the sooner they start feeding off each other, the safer the rest of humanity will be. But we're not quite there just yet. Okay? They're not cornered enough.
Any tips on directions of cornering? Where are the weak spots that we can just lift up the corners of?
We need to put our focus on creating what we want, not delving into that realm and saying, okay, we're going to lift the lid off of this. Because in order to do that, we have to focus on that. We have to focus on the negative field in order to want to shift it and make a change or to get involved with it. That is not what the A's and the benevolents want us to do at all. They want us to focus. They don't even want us to focus on it.
Yeah.
They want us to focus on what we want. Okay, to create the new field, a positive field. That's what we need to focus on. Because all this negative field, it will implode on itself. But we're still in it. Okay? We haven't had enough separation yet. But we have to keep focusing on what it is we want. What is it we want individually? What is it that we want for humanity? Not on the negative field of these morons who want to just destroy everything to maintain the illusion that they have power over anybody. Okay? And it is an illusion because they create money that's not real to have power over people. They create fear, which isn't real, to have power over everyone. They create these dire scenarios to create power over others that isn't real, because the soul is what's real. They have no control over the soul at all. Zero, zilch, nada. Okay? And that's the part we need to get. Humanity needs to get. We are a soul in a physical body, not a physical body that has a soul. It's the other way around. We are a soul, a spiritual being in a physical form. And they have no control over it. They really don't. Does that make sense to anybody?
I get the whole, we are energy, which is a soul manifesting and animating a flesh body that it created around its own blueprint kind of idea, so that we, you know, we manifest ourselves. Our bodies are a result of our soul expression.
Exactly.
Into this reality.
Exactly.
And we grow like that soul is the tiny spark that happens within the seed and expanding out and spiraling out from there, kind of thing.
I inhabit this body because of my intent. JP inhabits his body because of his intent. You, out there listening, you are inhabiting your physical form. You are inhabiting your reality because of your personal intentions. Now, if you don't know what those intentions are, then you need to do the serious work of being inside and listening to that inner voice to get that information for yourself. What is your intention for being here? I can tell you it isn't because you lost a poker game, okay? It isn't because you lost the lottery. It isn't because you did something wrong. You chose to be in this physical form, in this physical vidya, this holograph, for a very specific reason. Okay, you intended to be here. We all did. And it's up to you to find out that reason for yourself, if you really want to know.
I always find it something to do with the thing that people love doing. The thing they have always loved doing and they can't not do, but they don't realize that that's their
thing. A lot of other dimensions you could be doing what you love to be doing. Why choose this one?
Good question. Why do you do that thing that you love to do? How does that connect with what's going on here? Very good. So we've only got a few minutes left. Here's a question from Bjorn. Sorry, I said Bjorn, right? That's so English. I know Swedes. It's Bjorn. Anyway, Arcturan, Andromedans, Pleiadians, Syrians, are we all connected? Can we help to make all these entities work together and help each other?
Yes. Yes. Yes, we all are. It's a symbiotic relationship with all things. You know, I mean, we all share the space, and therefore we are all connected. There are some things sharing space, however, that choose to oppose light, and therefore they create a negative space, which in the grand scheme of things actually helps those who carry light to evolve faster or to evolve more deeply because they become so clear about what it is they don't want, and that is the darkness. They don't want any part of that. So they move in an entirely different direction or more intentionally into another direction. So, and if you remember me, I have said this at other times in other past webinars, that all the broken pieces find their way home. They all do eventually. But it's a choice. We're all here making decisions, we're making choices, and we're doing all of this based on intent about what it is that we think that we want. The question comes down to this simply. How much that you think you want do you really, really intentionally want? Or is it that you want it because these are the values of society and they tell us this is what we want? But what is your inner voice telling you? What is the inner voice telling you that you really need to be doing? Where you need to be standing? Where you need to be focused? Okay, that's the point. That's the point where we all need to get, is to that place. Because that inner voice, that higher self, it knows everything. And that's the part of us that ultimately knows what's right to do. And that's the part we need to focus on. Thank you for that question, because I had no idea how I was going to get back to that here at the end.
Lovely. It all ties back.
It did. I lucked out. I lucked out today. So
thank you. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. The next person to use the study room is here. Guys, I love you. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of the work that you're doing. You know, let's keep it up. The next webinar will be a real mover and shaker. I'll talk to you soon. God bless.
Thank you very much, Alex. Good night, everybody. Thanks.